Welcome to A Handful of Hope, where we bring you heart-to-heart conversations with heart-centered people. Hello, everybody. My name is Jesse Brizendine, and welcome back to another edition of A Handful of Hope. I'm so happy and grateful to have Claudia with us today. From an early age, Claudia became obsessed with positive information and positive quotes after her father introduced her and her brothers to books that would inspire them to always strive to be the best they could be. Claudia is a survivor, a woman who has learned to make the best out of life in the face of many challenges. She loves her parents, brothers, children, husband, and extended family with all of her heart and continues to learn how to live a life full of passion and in full harmony with herself. Claudia is currently on a quest to be the best version of herself and fully master that. She has a genuine and profound impact on others as she mentors and leads them to live life to the fullest and shares the tools she has utilized on her own personal search for meaning, self-discovery, understanding, compassion for herself and others, and her deep self-worth. She's a Jack Canfield Success Principles Certified Trainer and a Barrett Value Center Certified Practitioner and Consultant. She's an entrepreneur, an accomplished speaker, and a number one international best-selling author. Welcome, Claudia, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. So we are going to dive into mental health today, and I think this is such a, I think it's such an important topic to talk about in general. And I think right now, probably more than ever, given the state of not just, you know, the local areas, but the world at large, mental health is something that's coming up in a massive way for a lot of people. And so I thought we might start with, which is kind of what's a definition of mental health that people can work with? Because I think it's a term that's used so much that the people may not be clear on what that exactly is.
So I think before you start talking about mental health, it's important that you talk about mental illness. Mm-hmm. Because that's the other side of the coin. And I know that we have gotten into, you know, we want to make sure that we always are projecting a positive outlook on things. And I totally appreciate that, because if you don't do that, then there's really no hope. But at the same time, it's definitely important that you do focus on there is an underlying illness. If you do have it, it may be actually truly a chemical imbalance, or it may actually be due to circumstances. And we have that in my family. We have several that are actually truly either a depression or manic depressive, or, you know, symptoms like that and disorders like that, that are definitely genuinely physical. And then you have others, like my mother, for example, who suffered from depression for many years, and her depression was actually circumstantial. It was based on her upbringing, her nurturing, and what she had at, you know, when she grew up. So it's important that you talk about that, because once you know that, then, okay, so this is what's happened. This is what I have, with, just like with any illness. In order to move to the other side, you have to recognize that there's something not working correctly. And once you recognize what that is, then you can move into, okay, this is what mental health looks for me. And what I have found too is it's going to look very differently depending on who you are. For example, you, Jesse, you may find that for you to be okay with your depression, if that's what you had, and I'm just making this up as an example, but you may find that actually for you taking a long walk along the beach and coming in and just drinking lots of water and having your meditation hour, that's going to be sufficient for you to be okay for the rest of the day. That may not be the same for somebody else. You know, somebody else suffering with depression or afflicted by it, and on top of that, anxiety, they may need to do the same things, but they may also need medication to be able to appease them when they're in a situation where it's a lot of anxiety that they cannot really control just with normal methods. Or I would say not with medication methods. So it's also important to talk about that, because what's going to work for me may not work for you, and what's going to work for you may not work for somebody else. And we need to unite in that concept that there are many ways to be mentally healthy once you recognize what your ailment may be, and then what are you going to do about it, and what are you willing to try to make sure that you are okay as you continue to go on.
Does someone have to have an illness to work on their health?
You know, no, they don't. If you are basically continuing to make choices that are healthy choices for you, and I love this about, I started a 21-day meditation mm-hmm. with Deepak Chopra, and what he talked about, and forgive me my pronunciation. I'm from Mexico City, so you know that. I may not be saying that right.
I think Deepak gives everybody a pass on his name.
Yes, there you go. But what he talked about is, you know, when you're talking about, for example, losing weight, he was talking about making sure that you're eating healthy and that you're doing that. And he said, you know, I would encourage us to get out of the word discipline. You know, you have to have discipline and go into making the best choices you can to support your well-being in any given point in time. And I just really love that, because if you tell me I have to eat certain things every day and drink water and do this and do that, you know, that to me already is, you know, regimen. You need to do this. You have to be in this box. But when he actually transferred it into, you have to make sure that you not have to, but you choose to reach out for those choices that I going to make the best out of your life based on how you want to live moving forward. Honoring all of yourself. Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, I get to choose. And what do I want to choose? You know, do I want to choose to continue to feel not so good? Or do I want to continue to choose to actually feel good? So you're absolutely right. You do not need to have a mental illness in order to work on your mental health, because mental health is part of our well-being. In fact, the brain is, I believe, the most important organ. It controls the entire body. And if that's not working correctly, I mean, you can have everything else working right. And if your brain is not working properly, you know, then nothing is working.
Yeah. So somebody who's watching this right now, Claudia, and the state of the world can be described as a very unique time in history, chaos, mm-hmm. and some other colorful language we were talking about before we started rolling. And, right. you know, one of the things I think that gets kicked around a lot is mental health. We need to be cognizant, mindful of our mental health. And I can imagine somebody's watching this right now. They're going through an extremely stressful time where they have maybe just lost their job, or there's a chance they might lose their job, or they just saw almost their entire retirement plan at least cut in half. And on top of that, they're not sure what to make of the coronavirus. Is it as bad as people are saying? Is it not as bad as people are saying? You know, there's so much misinformation out there. And so the one thing that person knows for certain is that they need to do something to put themselves in a better state, because they recognize that the fear, the anxiety, the stress, all those types of things aren't helping them. And so they want to develop some sort of structure or mental health practice. How would they begin with that? Like where do the people start to go to create structure and practice around mental health?
So really, they have to stay within. That's one of the things that I have found through this quest of actually trying to find the best version of myself. I believe that as a society, we have, you know, continue to look for that magic pill outside of ourselves. And by that, I'm not saying that there are not resources to help you. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is we're trying to look for the approval. We're trying to look for the self-worth. We're trying to look for the kindness of people outside when we need to start within to give it to ourselves. So you do know how you are triggered. I'm sure that you do know what is not okay for you to do based on how you start feeling during the day. You know, some of those things are things that I'm starting to recognize. And believe it or not, I am kind of a rebel. I mean, my husband will tell you, you know, I'm a rebel. That's just how I've always been. And I always question, you know, why should we do that? And why should we do this? And one thing that I have found extremely helpful through this time, and I know I'm repeating myself, but is really having some sort of structure. So starting my morning with just either writing or meditating or taking a walk, it just sets me into the space for, okay, now I can tackle, you know, what's going to come. And, you know, people watching may probably say, well, that's really good for you to say, you know, you have the time to do that and you have the time and you probably don't have children at home. And they're right. I don't have children at home now. But I also feel that you can make the time if you really want to. You know, before the children get up, you can be up for a little bit to actually have quiet time for yourself, read something that you enjoy, you know, watch a podcast, like you said, or listen to a podcast that you feel that is uplifting. It's the choices. I believe it really comes to the choices you're making every single day to be better. And am I perfect every day? Absolutely not. You know, there are days that I start my day completely out of sync, and you're not going to do it well all the time. The idea is to recognize what works and to be able to start doing it and practicing it more every day. And once you start practicing it every day, if you don't do it, then you miss it.
Yeah.
You know, I started a project just like you're starting a project. You know, I started a project myself and I was doing the postings in the morning. And since this is an audience that I have built, I have 50 plus members waiting for the information. I was doing the posting in the mornings. Well, obviously by doing the posting and then getting engaged and what are they responding to the night before and so forth, you know, my meditation time and my writing, my gratitude kind of went sideways. And I told my husband last night, I'm like, okay, this is not working for me. I want to help those people that are reaching out, but I need to keep my morning routine that I had so carefully already started to continue. So I switched it last night, you know, as a posting is actually now scheduled. I mean, there are ways for you to make sure that you carve that time for yourself.
Yeah.
And if you really want and are interested in doing that.
Claudia, you mentioned this a couple of times and I want to dig a little deeper with it. A morning routine. How important is a morning routine? And the reason I ask this is because I think right now with so much of us, so many of us are at home. And the one gift that we may have is time that we didn't have before, in the sense of now we have the time to maybe start to cultivate a routine we didn't have. I think many of us, we wake up and it's to an alarm clock. We hit snooze three times. We resist getting up until the last possible minute. Then we go through the motion of hurriedly getting ready, maybe grabbing some food in a rush. And then we charge out the door, cursing at the clock that we're going to be late to work or something like that, right?
Exactly. It's the clock's fault.
It's damn thing's fast today. Always is fast. But I think that, so for me, having some sort of routine in my morning is powerful. And I can tell what a difference it is between the days that I successfully execute it and how I perform the rest of the day versus the days I don't. And so maybe speak to that. You know, how important is a morning routine for you? And if people wanted to start developing a morning routine now, what might be the place, where would they, might they start with that? Would it be an alarm clock? Would it be identifying something that they enjoy doing in the morning? What would that look like?
So you have to go back again. All those points are extremely important. And I totally agree with everything you said. And that's what they have to start, you know, doing something that they do enjoy. For example, I have completely failed at showing up at the gym consistently. And I finally realized I don't like to be cooped in and exercising in a gym studio. That's just not how I like to exercise. I like to go for walks. I like to enjoy where I'm at. So I completely changed that now. You know, rather than engaging myself in classes and signing up for, I'm just walking and I'm taking, you know, hopefully here soon, starting to do bike rides. But you have to start with what is it, like you said, what is it that you enjoy? Recently, I actually heard a concept that was very interesting. They said, you know, no wonder we already wake up all amped up. You know, I mean, even the name is, you know, an alarm clock, you know,
yeah.
An alarm bus, you know, we're already waking up to that alarm. And it's interesting what happens once you start developing a routine. And my husband, again, being the principal's guy that he was born like that, you know, he doesn't need the alarm clock. He actually puts the alarm, sets the alarm. He never uses it. He actually tells the clock, you know, it's time for me to get up. And I always tease him. I said, why do you do that? But it's just his body has gotten so much to that routine, you know, that he follows that. Well, it's interesting to see how now I'm actually starting to follow that a little bit. You know, I don't wake up as early as he does, but my body's starting to say, you know, it's time for you to get going and to get your walk and to get what you've been doing. And it's only been, you know, like a month and a half or so. It hasn't been long that I really started taking that more to heart. So that's really important to say, Jesse, because I think what I'm finding out, at least through my quest and through my path, is that probably timing is very different for everybody. And we're not going to come into that solution until we absolutely and desperately need the solution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. I think that's so important because it brings to point that you know, it's kind of like going to the doctor's office, right? We'll say we don't feel that great. We'll complain to the people in our lives, our friends, our family members, whoever, we don't feel that great. They'll say, why don't you go to the doctor? We'll say, oh, no, it's fine. It's no big deal. And then we'll wait until it gets so bad. And then we go there and the doctor, the first thing they say to us is, why did you wait so long to come?
Exactly.
So this is something, and I think one of the things that I'm hearing you say, which is so important, is this is almost, it's not about waiting. It's about being proactive. It doesn't have to be bad before it can be good.
Yes. And you're absolutely right with that. But I'm also coming to a place where I totally understand that people are going to arrive at that place at a different time. And, you know, a beautiful example is, you know, I've been working with my, on my health for a while. And, you know, one thing that I discovered was that working on my mental health, I kind of got that under control, even though sometimes I still have my spikes and so forth. But I have my support system on my husband that keeps telling me, hey, I think you're starting to go up a little bit or you're going down a little bit. And, you know, that he usually keeps me in check on that. But my weight has been something that has been up and down for a very long time. And as of recently, I realized why. You know, I had completely abandoned myself and lost myself in the minutia and in the busyness and the wanting to be liked and the, you know, you name it. It got to a point that is like, who am I? You know, who is this person that I barely recognized? And when that shifted into my inner self and wanting to find that person again, you know, the weight has been falling off.
Wow.
And what I choose to eat now, don't get me wrong, I still reach out for the sugar once in a while. I'm not perfect, like I said, but it's less. And I'm reaching out more for the fruit and I'm reaching out more for the vegetables. And in conversations with my husband and letting him know, you know, I'm trying to be healthier and I'm trying to be the best that I can in my elder years, all of a sudden he's starting to do the same. But for the longest time, you know, he didn't want to have that conversation. It's like, you know, I'm eating what I'm eating and I'm fine and I'm healthy. And well, now he's actually doing that. So that's what I mean by we all arrive at our point where we do decide. And it's more powerful, I believe, as I'm coming to find out, when we come to decide for ourselves.
Do you feel that him jumping on board now is influenced in any way because he sees or observes like your energy, your sense of peace, your sense of well-being, or I don't know what the exact phraseology is around that, meaning that before it was such, maybe before it was a more stressful thing, like I have to lose weight, I have to get in shape, you know, I think that's the approach people will take versus it being about, what it sounds like now is it's really about more of nurturing and loving yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a more of a peace and not that intensity around it, and then maybe it makes it a little bit more inviting for, and I say this because I think it's such an important point. Like, and I want to touch on this in just a minute with you. We were talking offline about the dynamics now. A lot of people are at home with their partners for the first time for an extended period of time all day, right? And I'll get a dozen messages every day. Jesse, you know, I my partner does this. How can I make them change? Right. And you just observe that energy it's in, right? And so I don't know about you, but anytime somebody tries to force me to do anything, I immediately, my little jerk meter goes up and says, well, I'm just not going to do it now because you're trying to make me do it.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. Versus creating that space where you're doing it for you. And it's then it gives the people in your life an opportunity to see your payoff from it, the benefit, the joy, the happiness. And then all of a sudden it makes it safer for them to kind of transition on board too.
And that is just a huge key of the whole puzzle, Jesse. Hmm. I definitely moved to a place of what am I doing for me? And if I'm really talking this talk, am I really walking the talk? Hmm. You know, if I'm saying don't reach out for that or don't eat so much or, you know, have only one serving or make sure that you're not eating so much potatoes. Well, you know, you just ate an entire bar of chocolate. So, you know, how does that balance out? So, you know, once we spoke, because we did have a very heart-to-heart conversation as far as I said, you know, really my goal is to be the best that I can. And, you know, I'm asking the same from you to be the best you can so we can be the best for each other as we are now, you know, empty nesters. And, you know, it kind of got heated for a moment. I'm going to be honest. You know, it was, you know, I was trying to make my point and he was trying to defend his point. But we just worked through it and we continued, and we both agree that it was actually very healthy for us to have that conversation. But I believe that you really, really hit it, you know, the nail in the head with saying, I think now I'm coming from a place of, this is what I believe is best for me, for my health, rather than paying attention to what he's doing to his health or not doing to his health after we had that heart-to-heart conversation. And now we've moved into really compassion and understanding for each other, knowing that, you know, we had our children, we're here on Sunday, and it was my son's birthday. It's tomorrow, but we celebrated on Sunday. And we had sugar and we had the cake and we had the pumpkin bars and we had, you know, stuff that was not as healthy as we would have liked. But we went with it, you know, did it. So the same applies for your mental health. You're not going to be perfect all the time, but what choices are you making on a consistent basis to make sure that you're staying as level as you can most of the time? Especially in the heat of the moment right now with what we have, you know, it's absolutely critical that you do that, you know, that you kind of stay in that. And talking about mental health, you know, I'm also very knowledgeable in the sense that what we eat impacts our emotions and how we feel during the day. So that's another reason why I'm being more conscious of the fact that I cannot be eating what I'm eating and I need to be eating differently, because one affects not only the weight, but it also affects your psyche. So it's all about choices, you know, at the end of the day.
Claudia, will you touch on, we were talking before offline about the dynamic of being at home with your partner for the first time for an extended period of time. And maybe just touch on it briefly with the idea of, so there's male, female, masculine, feminine energy interacting, and that how we process things, how we deal with things, what our own mental health routines might be different from one another. And that doesn't mean they're good, bad, right, or wrong. It just means they're different. Could you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. So one thing that has happened is, you know, we have had some challenges. We had some challenges at the end of the year, and then our son moved out. So there were, and, you know, I changed companies. So there were several things that I went through, and we went through as a family. And, you know, anytime that there's change, you know, one thing that people may not realize is there's mourning. You know, you lost what you had before. It's different now, and there's a little bit of a process. And the way that I process things, I do go in. I do stay in my head a lot, as far as, you know, moving the pieces and how's going to happen here and there. But I also talk about it a lot. So if I'm going through the process, you know, if you were my friend, I would be saying, well, Jesse, you know, today I thought about this and that. And what do you think? And I do a lot of if scenarios. I'm not going to let you know that I don't, because I do. But I have also found out that that's how I process things. You know, the more I talk about it and the more I say them, and the more it's like my head is just kind of rehearsing what's going to be the best outcome for me. And that's how I do it. You know, in the contrast, you know, my husband gets the information and he goes in. He goes in completely. Sorry about that. My dog is here. He goes inside his head completely, and it's all of a sudden trying to figure it out by himself. And so it is definitely a different energy between both of us.
How can we support our partners in that? Is it just giving them permission to process it their way and giving them the space for that? Is it asking them?
Give me 1 second, Jesse. Okay. I apologize about that. Fine.
You know, what's fun about this series is everybody's at home now. And so we have all these little quips and quirks and things happening that normally wouldn't happen. I can't tell you how many dogs we've heard barking, jumped in, birds chirping, all these types of things. So,
yeah. So I think basically, you know, you have to give them space. And that's one of the things that I have found right now, is giving the other person space to process on the way that they process, and not force your way into how they would process. I think that is key, because if you don't give them the space, then, you know, you're basically imposing, like, this is how you should be doing it. This is how I got over it. Or, you know, but sometimes that's what they tell you, you know, get over it, move on, you know, it's time. And in fact, that's one of the things that he did say, you know, I think it's, you know, you've talked about it enough. I think it's time for you to move on. And I said, well, wait a minute. I'm not quite there yet. And I know that I'm saying it a lot, but I'll be ready when I'm ready. And when you do that and honor this space, then the next thing that happens, again, we talk about this before, you know, I arrive at it at my own time and I feel more comfortable with what decisions I make based out of my own decision making, rather than when somebody's telling you this is how you should do it.
Yeah.
The same thing goes for him. I tend to be rapid at making decisions. You know, I see the issue, I look at it and I act, you know, I really act upon things. He's more of a strategic planner. And he wants to look at what are the areas, how he's going to attack an issue. And I think it's very valid. And it's a great team, really. I told him, you know, we really are a good team. Because if you have just action-driven people, then you're not really looking at the entire picture. And if you only have planners, then nothing gets done. Right?
Yeah, so true. It's a dynamic that actually works the best. It's just giving them permission when they're not acting like you to still love them for who they are.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Buddy, three quick questions to wrap up. Most people are at home right now. They're quarantined, locked down, self-isolation, shelter-in-placing, whatever the terminology is. If they had one podcast they had to listen to, what would you recommend?
I would recommend the podcast that Brené Brown has currently. And it's all around vulnerability. And you definitely need to listen to that because it's how to be human in these times and to be comfortable with you being vulnerable and showing that you're vulnerable and showing that you're scared. And now that you have shown that, what are you going to do with that next? Right. So I would definitely recommend that.
Mm-hmm. Book you'd recommend people read?
I'm actually recommending, I'm reading right now, The Last Arrow. And it's just in your, you know, bow and arrow. Mm-hmm. It's actually a pretty, pretty good book. It's
okay.
Not leave anything for the next life. So it's actually really, really.
Oh, I love it. And yeah. Then movie or documentary you'd recommend people watch?
So it's not a documentary, but my husband and I just watched The Two Popes yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's a movie on Netflix and he had so many nuggets. I was raised Catholic, not really practicing Catholic. But I found the movie fascinating as far as the difference between both of them and how they were so apart. You talk about dynamics, you know, in partners and or in couples or even right now governments, how we can be just completely apart from not agreeing in between each other and then recognizing that the dynamic that one versus the other one brings can actually be the solution. And
yeah.
Fascinating. I mean,
what a novel idea, right?
What's that?
I said, what a novel idea, right?
Exactly. What a novel idea. You know, I really hate what you're talking about, but it would work. So yeah. Let me get out of my ego and let
yeah. Yeah. All right, Claudia, that's been incredible. Thank you so much. Hey, everyone, make sure you re-listen to this. There's so much great wisdom in here about how to develop mental health, separating mental health from mental illness and identifying what the problem is. And then figuring out where you need to start working on yourself, but then also is how to start building your own mental health routine now. And really many of us were in the four walls with our people more than we might normally be. And so we might find that our people aren't the same people 24/7 as they are at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, which is why it's so important to really put some of these tools into practice and remember they're going to process things differently than you and give yourself permission and them to be you and them to be them. And it's going to help you manage and thrive through the situation all the better. And mm-hmm. Claudia, thank you so much for sharing with us. This was absolutely incredible, as are you. And we so appreciate thank your Jesse. Time and Sorry presence.
It was a pleasure and an honor. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. We'll see you next time, everyone. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you're finding value in these conversations, please rate and review on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever your favorite place is to listen to.